This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah. We are continuing with Hadith Jibreel. Explanation of the 40 Hadith. We started Hadith 2 last week. We're going to continue that now. It's called Hadith Jibreel. Someone asks you, what is Hadith Jibreel? You give them this Hadith. Very famous hadith. It's the first hadith mentioned in Sahih Muslim. That's how important it is. When two men came to the son of which companion? Umar. And they asked him about Qadr. There was a group that were called what?
Qadriya.
Good. Someone's been studying. Alhamdulillah. That's right. This man, Ma'bad al-Juhani, he denied Qadr outright. A'udhu billah. He's saying basically, Allah doesn't know of something until it happens. Like you and I, a'udhu billah. It's a surprise for you, it's a surprise for Allah. SubhanAllah. When something happens, it's a surprise for you. He said, and likewise with Allah, He doesn't know of something until it happens. There's no such thing as Qadr. So of course, they were rebuked and refuted heavily. And those who believe that are non-Muslims. Qadriya are kuffar. So Ibn Umar narrated this hadith. So that was the cause and reason why Ibn Umar narrated this hadith. And then I gave you some homework last week where we discussed Islam. What was the homework?
The question was, how do you treat those who say Islam is only the five pillars?
Those who say Islam is only the five pillars. What was your answer?
The question that Jibreel asked was, tell me about Islam and not what is Islam.
Correct.
So I'm gonna,
good. Good. Excellent answer. MashaAllah. Excellent. So Jibreel asked, أخبرني عن الإسلام. Tell me about Islam. He didn't say, مال إسلام. What is Islam? Therefore, those moderates who say, Islam is only five pillars. You don't have to wear hijab. You don't have to wear niqab. There's no da'wah. There's no sadaqah. There's no all of those things. Because the Prophet only said these five things. That's what Islam is restricted to. We say, no. Jibreel asked about Islam. He didn't say, what is Islam? That's the first way you can refute them. Second way, does anyone else have an answer? Yes, sister. Correct, but they're not asking you about Iman. They will say, Islam is this. They'll say, you don't have to leave off alcohol, you don't have to leave off zina, you don't have to leave off backbiting, because the Prophet didn't say that. He said, what is Islam? Or tell me about Islam. He said these five things.
But isn't the first pillar, the first shahada, doesn't that link up to the Quran anyways?
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah. It connects to following the Prophet.
Yeah, like in the Quran.
So if you're going to answer it like that, yes, good. The first pillar connects to following the Prophet, and the Prophet said, no, the Prophet told us to leave off these things, therefore we do so. That's it. That's when why you can answer it.
If you want to follow the five pillars of Islam, and how are you going to do them if you're not going to have someone to teach you how to do them, which is the Prophet ﷺ is going to teach you how, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to pray, but Muhammad ﷺ showed us how to pray.
Sure, they're not denying that. They'll say, yes,
I'll follow just the pillars. Okay,
no, they're telling you to follow the pillars based on what the Prophet said as well, of course. They're not saying that you don't have to follow the pillars. They're saying, or anything apart from the pillars. They all agree with you. They say, sure, the Prophet told us how to pray. I'll follow that because the Prophet said in this hadith. You see? Yes. They'll say that's extras. You don't have to really do them. It's certainly what more reward.
Yeah,
but they'll say, but the Prophet didn't say that in this hadith. What you need to do is use the same hadith to refute them. The sister did that because he said, أخبرني عن الإسلام. He didn't say, مال إسلام. That's one way you can refute them. Ibn Taymiyyah said, no one brings an innovation except I refute them with the same dalil that they're bringing. So the Prophet said, when he was asked, tell me about Islam. He didn't say, what is Islam? That's the first way you can answer. Second way you can answer is logically. If someone came to ask you about Islam, you can't tell them everything about Islam in 5 minutes. It's going to need not even 5 hours, you need 5 years, even more. So he's going to give them the most important aspects. And that's what the scholar said, يَجُوزُ أَن نُعَرِّفَ الشَّيْءَ بِأَهَمِّ مَا فِيهِ. It's permissible to define something according to its most important aspects. So Rasulullah did that. He defined Islam according to its most important aspects. And the third way you can refute, and this is the final way, although there are many more, is the next hadith we're going to take in, the 40 hadith. The next hadith, hadith 3, is the five pillars. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Buniya al-Islamu ala khams." Islam was built upon these five. In other words, it's built upon these five as a foundation, but it's not the whole religion. When you, as the sister said, if you were to, for example, drive and you see the foundation of a home hasn't been built yet, are you going to say that's a home? No, it's just the skeleton of the home. It's a structure, it's the scaffolding, it's not the complete home. Once it has a roof and walls and rooms and bathrooms, bedrooms, etc., now it's a home. Therefore, just the five pillars on its own, it's really the foundation of Islam. So let's now go through the hadith in detail. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to define Islam and its pillars. We're going to define Iman and its pillars. And we'll stop there because we won't be able to finish the hadith today. So today we're going to look at hadith 2. We're going to continue with that. The notes go straight from, as we said, the etiquettes of seeking knowledge. It goes straight into Qadr because that's the purpose of the hadith. Why Ibn Umar narrated it. So he didn't mention, as the author in your notes, didn't mention all the details about Islam and Iman. We're going to quickly skim over it. So let's define Islam. What does Islam mean, sisters? It does, correct. It's connected to Istislam. Al-Istislam means to submit, to surrender. If you were to say, Aslamt, someone put a gun to your head and you say, Aslamt, I give up, I surrender, I submit. That's what Islam means, to submit and surrender. Allah mentioned this word when it came to Ibrahim and his son Ismail. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا Allah said when they both أَسْلَمَا they both submitted, they both surrendered to the command of Allah. So Allah used that word أَسْلَمَا from Islam to mean to submit. That's what Allah wants us to do. What else does it mean? You hear some people say it means peace. Correct, it came from Salima. Salima means to be at peace. Salima, Islam, Salam. Don't you say Salamun Alaikum? What does Assalamu Alaikum mean? That's right, peace. So big words in Arabic come from small words, remember that. You find 9 times out of 10, big words come from a 3-letter root word. It's called the jidr. So the 3-letter root word here is Salima. Salima. Or Kataba, Abada. It's always a 3-letter root word. That's the origin of words in Arabic. So the origin of Islam and Salam and Istislam, the origin is Salima. Salima. And anything that rhymes or that has those three letters in them, like Salam. Is there a sister named Salam here? There you go. Salam. And Islam and Istislam and Muslim and Muslim. All of those words come back to the 3-letter root word. That's how Arabic is. Big words come from small words. If you just remember that, that's basically the rule here. So what's the connection between submission and peace? Correct. When you submit to Allah Azza wa Jal, you are at peace. You have peace. You live a peaceful life. That's why the kuffar, they don't have peace. Despite their fortunes and millions and possessions and fame and fortune, they're not happy. That's why the highest rates of suicide are in the Western world, the Western countries. SubhanAllah, even these celebrities, so-called stars, are committing suicide left, right and center. Drug overdose, abuse, suicide, hanging themselves. Allahu Akbar. You live a life of filth, you'll die in filth. And that's why Allah Ta'ala said, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ The abrara are in na'im already now. They're in blessing and delight. They're living a life of blessings and delight. Whereas the kuffar, وَإِنَّ الْفُجَّارَ لَفِي جَحِيمٍ Allah Ta'ala says, the kuffar are in jahim. We know that. Okay, what's new? They're in the hellfire. But Allah Ta'ala says, يَصْلَوْنَهَا يَوْمَ الدِّينِ They will enter on the Day of Judgment. So what's the first one referring to? Meaning now. Because Allah Ta'ala is saying they will enter on the Day of Judgment. So when Allah Ta'ala said, وَإِنَّ الْفُجَّارَ لَفِي جَحِيمٍ Meaning now. They're in Jahim and they're going to enter on the Day of Judgment. يَصْلَوْنَهَا يَوْمَ الدِّينِ Two different times. See the beauty of those ayat? It's telling you now they're experiencing a living hell. Right now they're not happy. Even though they may claim to be, but they're not. And that's why you find people who are non-Muslim and they become Muslimun, that's when they find real happiness, true happiness. And even if you were in Jahiliyyah, you didn't find happiness, you didn't find purpose to life until you start practicing your deen. Alhamdulillah. So that's the connection there. Now, I'll rub this off. Does anyone need it? That's in, I believe, Surah Al-Infitar. Ask me in the Q&A, I'll get that for you. Now, that's Islam. Now, its pillars are? Think of pillars of a house. You have a house of Islam. That's your house. Now, to keep that house steady, you need pillars. Without it, what will happen? House will collapse. So first is shahada, the testimony of faith. Next, prayer, as-salah. Next, zakah. Next, fasting, siyam, and hajj. All are necessary to keep that house upright. There are some things that if you don't do, it can nullify your whole Islam, ruin it completely. Like shahada, without shahada, there is no Islam. Without salah, there is no Islam. Scholars differ as opposed to the others. If you don't fast, are you a kafir? There's difference of opinion. Difference of opinion. But definitely, you don't have the shahada. You don't pray, definitely, then you've left Islam. The person we're talking about, they've left it completely. We're not talking about they miss one prayer, or two, or three. However, if a person does all of them, but denies one of them, they have left Islam. They deny it. They say, you don't have to fast. I don't believe it's obligatory. You don't have to perform hajj. You don't have to do it. Even if they're doing it, they've denied it. A person who denies an obligation, in other words, they made halal what Allah made haram, or they made haram what Allah made halal, that person has left Islam. We have no right to legislate. Q&A. That's Islam. Now, we're not going to take every single one because that's on Hadith 3. Inshallah, in the upcoming weeks, when we take Hadith 3, Bunya al-Islam al-Khams. Islam is built upon these five things. Therefore, we're going to take that in detail. So we're not going to go into that now. As for Iman, let's discuss that now. We've discussed Islam. Let's discuss Iman. Iman is translated as what? Faith. Now, Iman, as we said, all words in Arabic, 9 times out of 10, come from a three-letter word. Three-letter root word. It's called the Jidr. So Iman came from Amn. What's Amn? Correct. Security. Safety. Yes. Have you heard of the name Aman? Aman and Amin and Amina and Amina. As we said, that's how Arabic is. All those big words come from small words. That's how Arabic is. As we said, it's not a hard language. It's based on patterns and rules. Once you know them, Arabic becomes easy. Al-Amn. Amn. With an N on the end. And Allah Ta'ala said this in Surah Quraysh. Who knows the ayah? He uses that three-letter jidr. وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ أَحْسَنْتِ Allah protected them, kept them safe from fear. وَآمَنَهُمْ آمَنَا آمَنَا, to be safe, and also to believe. So we know Iman, to believe. So although it comes from that, yes, but it also means to have Iman, to believe. What's the connection? Once again? You believe. Correct. If you believe, you have safety and security from the punishment in this world and the hereafter. It protects you from the fire. It protects you from punishment in both worlds. So the connection is, if you believe, if you have Iman, you are protected in both worlds. We say both worlds because a person can get punished in this world before the next. Look at Ad, Thamud, the people of Nuh. They were destroyed en masse.
If you repented from a sin and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kind of purified you, gave you a hardship, and like you feel like it's because of something that you've done, it's like
you're getting punished in this world. What if you don't get any, like, sort of test? Like, is there always going to be a test for us in this world so we don't get that punishment in the hereafter? Or are we going to still get punished for... Very good question. Very good question, sister. Inshallah, Sister Hiba, we'll take that in the Q&A. Very good question. It's a loaded question. Otherwise, we won't finish We've still got half an hour to go. We haven't done the test for Sirah. So we'll stop there, inshallah. The pillars are, of course, six. The pillars of Iman are six. So we said just as Islam has pillars, and there are how many? Five pillars. The house of Iman is a bigger house because it's got six pillars. What are they? To believe in Allah first. Next, Malaika. What's that?
Angels.
What comes first, books or messengers? Books. Because the books are longer lasting, whereas the messengers don't live forever. But the books can say, you look at the Quran, for example, the Quran lasts until the Day of Judgment, but the Prophet Muhammad didn't, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the books are first. Then messengers, then? Correct. What's the Yawm al-Akhir? Yeah, the last day, literally. And? Qadr, which is? Correct. Destiny, divine decree, its good and evil consequences thereof. Those are the six pillars of Iman. And it's, of course, in your notes where the hadith is translated. We're going to discuss that in more detail, inshallah, next lesson. We'll go on to Ihsan. We'll, inshallah, finish the hadith by talking about the pillars of Iman as well as the Day of Judgment and its signs. Jazakum Allahu khairan. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. For homework, this is optional, but it'll help you understand the next lesson. I think I told you last week, it's called a lecture I want you to listen to, Why Bad Things Happen. Did I mention that?
Yeah.
Sorry? Yeah, it was a khutbah, it was part of the khutbah. It's only 7 minutes. Listen to it. It's called Why Bad Things Happen.
Are you the lecturer?
Yes, I gave this lecture, and it'll help you understand why there's evil in the world, and that's connected to Qadr. A lot of people say, why does Allah decree bad things when He's all-powerful? He doesn't like bad, doesn't like evil. Why does He decree it? So there's great wisdom in that evil occurring. If Allah wanted, He could remove it, but He keeps it there for great wisdom. So I want you to listen to that. Why bad things happen.
Is it on YouTube? Or
yes.
On...
If you type in why bad things happen, and if you just put my surname. Oh, good. Excellent. There's part two, but it doesn't really relate to what we're discussing. It's called handling hardships. Because when bad things happen, you're afflicted with something. Unfortunately, many of the time, people don't know how to handle them. They don't know what to do. So there's part two, but you don't have to listen to that. But just listen to that because that's connected to what we're taking in class.